To True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Walter, the host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Coins Plus is actively involved in buying and selling all forms of precious metals, rare coins, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. We obviously resell everything. We wholesale, we refine metals, we wholesale diamonds to the public, and we also specialize in building portfolios, helping people preserve their capital in nice, solid, long-term fashions. We are nationally competitive. We offer very low wholesale pricing. Everything about us is legit and above board. We grade everything properly. We just, you know, when you get into the whole industry, you need to trust somebody. And that's who we strive day in and day out to be. We want to do you the best. We want to provide the best product. There's no hidden games. And trust me, folks, if you're out, you know, watching TV and you see ads for companies selling quote-unquote gold, or Roslyn Capital seems to pound it all over the place, you know, the, any coin, anytime, anywhere, they have commissioned salespeople. The margins that we make, and believe me, I've been in this industry a long time, and I'll tell you what, those companies charge exorbitant, and they bait and switch and all this stuff. And I hate talking about it because it builds fear into people's minds when they enter the arena. Coins Plus provides a safe refuge for all that. You don't have to worry about all that. I've actually had people in the past where I have spent shows educating for consumer safety and how to be careful and how to be wise when you're dealing in this industry. And I've had them, you know, and I've told them the games and how to deal. And I've actually had people come here and try to accuse us of the exact stuff I just educated them of on the radio. And it's like, you serious? I mean, they're like, I don't think they maybe know where they heard it, or they listen to the radio all day, but trust me, I wouldn't be educating you on what to watch for if I was up to any shenanigans. We're not. I've been around in business, banking, and I'll tell you, I have a lot of Christian friends and a lot of friends in different places in life. And one thing that we all agree on, at least, is real men of integrity, and I'm talking true integrity, they are hard to find. Men that don't have secrets, men that don't turn their back on you and lie and cheat and steal, they're very difficult to find. Men that'll stand up when they screw up and they'll take responsibility for it, even if it's the 10th time in a row, and won't hide. I mean, it's just really, really hard to find. And that is who we truly strive to be. We just, you know, we're human. We make mistakes, I suppose, but we've been doing it a long time. We're pretty good at what we do. We don't, we just go out of our way to try to be the best Christian owned and operated business in this whole industry. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Coins Plus is, we strive for honesty and integrity and professionalism in every transaction. That's our desire. That's our goal. We want to be a high-volume, low-margin dealership. I guess that means that we want a lot of business, and we want to make a little bit of money off a lot of people. We want to provide a safe haven, a refuge, a service that you can deal in product. We want you to know, or whoever's out there to know, that they can bring in a product that's a good product or something they inherited, and they can get the real scoop. They can find out what's it really worth. What is it really? Now, dealing with people's fantasies sometimes is not that fun. People come up with some pretty interesting perspectives. For example, just the other day, I had a guy call. He says, I have an 1896 silver dollar, and I went on the internet and I see that it's worth $20,000. Well, how did you come up with that? Well, I went on the internet. No, you didn't do research because, first of all, the 1896 Morgan dollar has three different mint marks, New Orleans, Philadelphia, and San Francisco. Number two, grade is everything. If all three of those are circulated, they're worth $20. If they're mint state 60, which is the bottom order of mint state, they can be worth anywhere from $50 to $1,000. Then when you get into extraordinary high value, you know, gem quality museum specimens, then you get into the money. But the thing is, they're super ultra rare. So people will go online, take the date. Okay, Martha, the silver dollar is 1896. Look that up. Type in 1896 silver dollar and scroll through the internet, eBay, auctions. Look here, Martha. There's one that brought $100,000. That must be what ours was worth. You know, no research, no knowledge. I mean, Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion, which in Hebrew means ignorance, his own ignorance. And, you know, we've got to have all the data, all the information gathered to make a wise decision. And so that's, so I say I can compete with anyone in the nation. I can't always compete with people's fantasies. And that's, I suppose, part of doing business when you're dealing with antiques. People watch Pawn Stars. That show, folks, I know a person who's, I know two people, but I know one who's very close to that show, involved in the production. They plant items. None of that is legit. Okay, it's not legit. I mean, some of it is, but what they'll do is if someone calls and says, you know, hey, I have this Civil War piece. Well, first of all, what they'll do is if they don't have anything good lined up, they'll go out to antique dealers, whatever, coin shops, they'll go look for something, and then they'll hire an actor to bring it in, or multiple actors. If they do have people call with something interesting, they'll say, okay, well, we want to record you on that at 2 o'clock. And so come in at noon. The guy will come in. They'll go through it. They'll study it. They'll research it. They'll look it up. They'll get all their information and then they'll record it. And so the guys at Pawn Stars look super smart, but they went and researched it before the show and things like that. Antique Roadshow used to go through literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people just to get a few items for TV. When we were in San Francisco, they had 6,000 people come to have maybe 8 on TV. But the problem is when people see the 8 on TV, they don't realize that's 8 out of 6,000. They go, geez, everybody's got something in their attic. Why don't I? You know, so rare quality antiques, rare quality coins, folks, they're rare. Okay, I mean, they're rare for a reason. They're not all over. Everybody doesn't have them. If your uncle was an antique collector, but he was poor, he's probably not going to have $1 million antique sitting there, or he'd have probably sold it. You know, that's the kind of logic you got to use. So, you know, I'm just kind of talking about things in our life. Probably doesn't apply to you so much. So anyway, you're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth is, of course, sponsored by Coins Plus, 444-0044 in Spokane. Outside Spokane, toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. Or through our website, coinsplus.com. Now, there's some stuff going on today. Director James Comey of the FBI came out and announced that they are reopening the Hillary Clinton email scandal. There's something weird here, and here's what it is. First of all, Anthony Weiner, for those of you who don't know, is a complete, absolute, deviant, pervert, weirdo. I've always thought he was probably the most arrogant, unbiblically spirited individual I'd ever seen. Just before any of this stuff ever came up, someone said, who do you think's the worst congressman up there? I said, hands down, Anthony Weiner. Plus, his name's Weiner, which is interesting because later on he got in trouble for sending pictures of just that. Okay, so God has a sense of humor. Folks, there's something in a name. Okay, I'm sorry. I've seen it over the years. I've seen people's, you know, named Jeff or whatever, or, you know, there's different personalities that follow different names. And there may be variants of it because, from a different cultures, but there's something in a name. The Bible makes it very clear about that. Look at Trump. As I said, Trump card. Trump means to win. In the Bible, a trump is the final warning. And Trump definition, another one is also that it's a final deciding factor. A final overriding or deciding factor is the definition. Everything that Trump says comes true. Okay, he might be obnoxious, he might be ignorant. God might be showing us the darkest side of a man who isn't dark. This is what I believe. I believe that God knows Trump's heart. I believe the accusations of sexual whatever misconduct are not true. I mean, he's been around a long time, and he's got some of the most beautiful women you've ever seen on his arm. I mean, literally. Always has. And everyone said he's always been a class act. And then these women come out and people will do crazy things. When you have 300 and some million people in America and there's people that watch the wrong media stations. In fact, Fox is becoming the wrong media station. If you watch Megyn Kelly the other night, get into it with Newt Gingrich. I have not liked Megyn Kelly for a very long time. And inside scoop is I have an aunt, well, I guess she'd be a cousin, who was a big news anchor here in Spokane. She went to New York. She's a top news anchor back there for a major network. And she's kind of kept us apprised of the inside scoop on things in the news industry back there. Way back, I think after Obama came in and Fox News supervisors came in and said, here's what's going down. Anyone brings up the 9/11 conspiracy, you crush them, you destroy them. And they said, anybody brings up the Obama birther issue, you destroy them. And there's been other things like that. Immediately after she told us about that or emailed it to us, you could just see it go into fruition. There was an issue with the story is that Megyn Kelly threatened Roger Ailes years back with sexual harassment stuff, and as part of the settlement, they gave her own show. Overall, I just don't trust her reporting, and she's just been bashing on Trump at a level I've never ever seen. I mean, you think the liberal media is bad? You should have seen Megyn Kelly. So Newt Gingrich came on, the previous Speaker of the House. She was so unbelievably disrespectful to him, and he defended him, Trump's situation very well. She became very arrogant and angry, and now supposedly Fox has taken it out on him. I don't know. It's a bunch of politics, but I will tell you that even Fox is a biased news source. However, people watch some of these biased news sources. They get all bent out of shape, like the guy that tried to destroy Donald Trump's Hollywood star with a sledgehammer and a pickaxe. He comes from the Otis family, billionaire family, which they invented the elevator. And what I really like is this kid grew up a billionaire. He's a trust fund baby, and he hates capitalism. He's a socialist. You know, I mean, the idiocy is beyond the pale. It is. So he got all angry listening to this stuff and went out and tried to destroy that stuff. And you get women that, you know, come out, they're happy to try to take Donald Trump down. And the gal that, I won't go through each accusation, but it just doesn't make sense. So it seems that we're seeing the darkest side of a man who's not very dark, a man who's very transparent. He is what he is. That would be wonderful. I think God is literally showing us that. And I think that God chose Trump. Just like I said, the name Wiener. Pride comes before a fall. The man was full of pride, and then he lost his congressional seat because he stepped down because of his sexual activity, if you call it that. He was tweeting or texting terrible photos to women, unsolicited, and then afterwards he continued, and he tried to run for mayor and got shot down. Then after that he continued. He's obsessive. There's something sickly wrong with him. So in an investigation where he was doing it to a 15-year-old girl, they found more emails of Hillary's, some association with his server. And I don't understand. I don't know. Unless they are getting pictures of the 33,000 she deleted. That's what I think may be happening. I don't know. They haven't released that, but it's more information that could take her down, and let's hope it does. And if there's anyone out there who's not going to vote, folks, please vote. I mean, don't think it doesn't count. It does. Just get out and vote, please. Vote against Hillary Clinton. This country, folks, will be terrible, and I'm going to discuss with what we have time today a little about what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk about what I call cultural Marxism, okay? I've talked about communism infiltrating our society, socialism, the idea that God does not exist, and they have just penetrated and permeated it into our society, into our schools, into our media. It is everywhere. It is all around, and then they are generationally biased. You know, they're generationally persuading one after the next to believe this stuff until finally it becomes, you know, mental law, until it becomes absolutely accepted as the norm. So we've got political correctness. We have been trained to go, oh, I can't believe they said that, you know. Oh my gosh. Folks, there was a time that wasn't the case. I'm 50, maybe not old enough. I remember the political correct agenda coming on the scene in the 90s hardcore. I remember touches of it in the 80s. I remember heavy duty parts of it in the 90s. And I knew what they were doing. I could see it. I could feel it. I'm like, they're controlling people's speech, just like the book 1984, written by George Orwell in the 30s, where he predicted the future of America. It was a Fabianistic blueprint of future society. That and Aldous Huxley's A Brave New World. They've spelled out where we're going. This is not accidental, okay? So now we're at political correctness, which is really secularism. You've gone to where you have to say all these things. You have to accept the immoral. You can't speak the moral, okay? You've got to praise homosexuality. You've got to praise lesbianism. You've got to praise women's libbers. You know, you've got to, and you have to renounce overbearing men, and you've got to renounce the nuclear family, and, you know, all of it is cultural Marxism. It's stripping our society of its identity. It is the basis of the great anti-Christian, anti-God movement in America and the sexual revolution, okay, that took place in the 60s. That was a turning point. That's when immorality just fell like dominoes. And that's when the big changes came. I was born in the 60s. I wasn't present for the cultural activities. But that was the beginning of big change. The parents of that era did drugs. They did a lot of immoral, illicit things that had previously been rejected. And they were rejecting Christian morals. This started back in the 30s. FDR started this stuff. This has been going on since Karl Marx wrote his garbage clear back in whatever it was, 1840-something. Their goal was, and they actually put this down as a goal, to erode faith through all of our institutions and our media, okay? They wanted all the barriers removed. Their goal is to destroy Christian culture and all religious affiliation in America. We are getting there now. It's establishing a society where government replaces religion, and they get indoctrination into a positive view of socialism. Look at our kids now. Half of them want socialism. Half of them. They think it's better than democracy. I mean, come on. Seriously? They don't know. It's all spun. And then the media spins it because the schools have spun it to the kids who become our media personnel. And on it goes, all the way down to the elementary schools and, hey, accept all other cultures, right? America's not great in their minds, but I disagree. We need to have American exceptionalism. That's what we've lost. Oh, Trump has this. These other people are brainwashed to think the government's job is to provide. The government's job is to protect. The government's job is to be small and allow the individual to grow. Now we look and people go, what about the poor? We got to have the big government. Folks, the more you subsidize something, the more you get of it. Lyndon B. Johnson did some terrible things. It's ironic how JFK died. JFK was going, he had all the documents drawn up and ready to go. He was filing them to absolve the Federal Reserve. He got it. He was the most conservative Democrat to ever serve. LBJ was his VP. JFK was assassinated methodically, systematically. It's not some accident. There is so much that goes into that whole story. I won't even get into it. And when people do, you know, who was the shooter on the Knoll, they're not even looking in the right places. But LBJ steps in, completely stops the actions of JFK. He stops the absolution of the Fed, and he stops all these capitalistic programs, and he begins to institute heavy-duty socialism. Now, we've all heard that his shooter was a socialist paid by the communists. They've never looked at LBJ. Socialism was running amok. And LBJ was instituting it from the highest office in the land. How LBJ became his VP president is another story. That's not an accident either. It's basically, they want to change. Okay, so they're indoctrinating the kids, the people, us, into a positive view of socialism and a negative view of capitalism and the Constitution. They've torn it down. You get these lefties now making comments about the Constitution's written by a bunch of old men, you know, white, rich, bigot slave owners. This is what we get told. What, you know, white, rich, bigot slave owners, and now they want them to be pedophiles and homosexuals. I mean, come on. These were real men, right? And we have cultural differences between now and then with slavery. In 1923, they started the Frankfurt. They had the Frankfurt School, which started kind of the new Marxism, because they wanted the workers of the world to unite. That was Karl Marx's goal: workers of the world unite. They did not unite in World War I. They went and they looked out for themselves because they don't want to give up all their stuff. Who does? That doesn't come natural, does it? So we go to a tax eventually. But basically, the workers of the world did not unite in World War I. They went back to their own countries and fought for their own land. And they realized at that time, the Marxists realized Western culture had to be destroyed. So they destroyed, or they determined to destroy, the family structure. That was the basis of what made America so great and strong, so that they could leave people no refuge and nowhere to turn other than the government. So during World War II, the Frankfurt School moved from Germany to New York into what we now know as Columbia University, one of the most liberal universities on planet Earth. Absolutely produces some of the worst liberals known to man. It's the school that Obama claims to go to have gone to, yet none of his classmates ever saw him or knew him. People like Wayne Allert, I think it was, who got the same 2 degrees that Obama claims to have at the exact same time and said, claimed to have the same classes. He never, ever saw Obama, nor in 2013 when they had a 30-year reunion and Obama no-showed. 400 people at the reunion said they've never seen Obama. They never saw him there. They never knew him. He didn't exist. That's a fact. So he probably didn't go there, right? They have one roommate, an Iranian guy who's back in Iran, who claims he remembers him being there. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he got paid a small fee for that. So Columbia University becomes the hotbed of the new Marxism, okay? And then they begin what is cultural terrorism. Cultural terrorism. They start these heavy-duty sex ed courses. They start pounding sex ed on children, you know, pumping it into them early, getting those juices flowing, making them think. giving them neutral views of deviant behavior, starting to plant seeds of homosexuality and, you know, sexual immorality, just pumping it into them through the school system. Because after all, every generation of parent thinks the next generation is better, or they think, you know, the next generation of schooling is as good as what they had, and they just don't open their minds to it. And so it's kind of a concern. So they start the cultural terrorism, they start the sex ed, they start the anti-religion stuff. You know, you can't, it's not religious acceptance, it's anti-religion. And America is a Judeo-Christian society, whether you like it or not. This is when the tolerance stuff kind of started to slide in. And then by the 60s, the tolerance thing led to drugs and the sexual revolution. Then they de-Christianized the West, and they start to capture the minds of the young. America was a Christian nation. I mean, look at the courts, Ten Commandments, everywhere you turn. There were no atheists in this country. There might have been some confused people or agnostics or whatever, but you know, this was not an atheistic union. And I'll tell you now, we've got atheism is treated as a religion, because it is. It requires more faith to be an atheist than it does to be anything else. The sad thing about the, you know, this cultural terrorism and the de-Christianization of the West and capturing the young is that the church gave up in the 60s. R-rated movies started to take off. They let prayers go out of the schools. LBJ, the VP I talked about, Lyndon B. Johnson, made the 501c3, which is the nonprofit charter for organizations. He created it in opposition of the churches so that they could no longer speak out about politics in church. He said, if you're a 501c3, you can't talk about politics in church. I mean, think about that. Politics, religion, and economics, they are all intertwined. They're biblical. They all function from biblical principles, right? I think you'd all agree. So he made opposition to churches speaking out about politics in church. And the cultural Marxism began implanting ideas and concepts of what we call collectivism and turning the government into the big solver of everyone's problems. This is LBJ, the war on poverty. He multiplied the amount of expenditure on poverty 5 times. He said, we're going to have a war on poverty. This was all designed to implement socialism. So he increased the spending on poverty by 5 times. Guess what happened? Poverty grew. What? 5 times. Folks, the more you subsidize something, the more you get of it. The more you tax something, the less you get of it. So think about it. What do? We tax the rich. We tax the efficient business owners. We tax the workers. And we get less business and we get less income production, we get less jobs. We take that money and we subsidize the poor. What do we get? We get more poor. So we basically pull the wealth from the top and we squeeze it down and raise the living standards of the bottom. And we raise it to a point where they can barely subside. They become trapped. They think it's okay. They're given just enough to get by. And then we're redistributing wealth. We're actually eliminating the middle class in America. And that's why under Obama, it's dropped so rapidly. And we are redistributing the wealth and we are creating a new society. And that is why Donald Trump makes no sense. He's an old school capitalist. The political correct movement makes him sound like a fool, don't they? So the government forces compliance through coercion. You know, when you're an individual, you have a conscience. You have the law and a conscience. The government starts to force compliance through coercion, compliance to this new socialistic Marxistic society. And you begin to lose your free will. We're seeing this now. You can't say what you think. You can't do what you want. You can't even go where you want anymore. There's cameras and security and all kinds of stipulations everywhere you go. They shut down protests if they're conservative-minded. It's basically we've gone from individualism versus communism, freedom versus coercion. This is where America's changed so drastically. And then they have, you know, critical theory, I call it, to challenge all previously accepted standards in society from a Marxist perspective. They criticize the founders. They question all of our values. Folks, you have to realize Marxism is becoming deeply embedded in our society. The goals of Marxism are what? This is from Karl Marx himself. Here are the four goals of Marxism. Now, you got to listen to this. And we teach this garbage like it's okay. Number one, destroy the family. Number two, destroy private property. Number three, destroy religion. Four, destroy the nation. And then rebuild it. The family becomes the government. The property goes to the government. Religion becomes the government. Destroy the nation and rebuild the government. The Supreme Court has been converted to the usurpation of constitutional authority, and they've been stripping the authority from the states for years. They're making, you know, they're litigating, they're making one decision after the next that is absolutely unconstitutional. They are legislating from the bench in direct opposition to the Constitution. This is why if Hillary gets in, folks, it is over. I mean, this is not just another election. This is not. This is it. I'm not kidding you. This will be it. Over the next decade or two, the name United States of America may still stand, but it will not be what our founding fathers began. This is where Trump says for every new piece of legislation, every new regulation, we'll have to destroy two because we've gotten in too deep. We can't get out. We've let this Marxism permeate this nation everywhere. They've abused the nation. When it gets to the point where Congress issues a subpoena to the Secretary of State and she just says, hell with you, and deletes 33,000 emails and has her people around her do it, and no one gets charged with anything. Yeah, today they're doing more investigation because of emails they found on Anthony Weiner's server. Maybe it's legit. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's another red herring. I don't even know anymore. I don't know who to trust. But she will absolutely impact this nation, folks, in a way. You know, a lot of older people say, oh, they say that about every election. Well, this is truly different. When our Supreme Court finally rolls over, it's not rolling over liberal. We say, oh, liberalism. It's not liberalism. It's Marxism. It's absolute Marxism. Is that what America's all about? And folks, you wait. When they take away our Second Amendment rights, you wait. We're done. And we're already there. It's illegal to walk around with anything that you can defend yourself with almost. Hillary Clinton will fully destroy any remaining semblance of our true American history. Communism has always threatened to destroy America from within. They've always, from the time I was a kid, they'd always say, well, the communists say that you're not going to fall from the outside. They're going to destroy you from within. And guess what? Here we are. Seriously. Communism is we have to talk about, maybe people don't understand. Communism is an economic system where the state owns the means and fruits of production. The means is the capital. Communism owns the assets and the fruits of production. They own it all. Then this is all hypothetical too, because when they do it, it's a disaster. Then they distribute it to a classless society because you've stripped everything away from everybody. And the poor people go, I like that a lot. I don't have anything now. You don't even have a clue. You might not think you have anything, but you don't have seven diseases because you can't go to the doctor. You know, you don't have people piling you up in unkempt housing where anybody can walk in when there's no police to support you. You don't have that. You don't know what you don't have. So communism's, and it's an economic system where the state owns the means and capital and the fruits of production. They distribute it to their self-caused classless society. It is a far-left authoritarian political economic system. It's a far left, it's a radical, it's a left-wing authoritarian political economic system. What do they want? They want left-wing. They've brainwashed people to beg for the destruction of their own country. It was popularized by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels in their 1884 book, The Communist Manifesto. Communism owns the means and the fruits of production. Now, socialism, what's the difference? Socialism owns just the fruits of production through taxation. Socialism is a transitional government towards communism. So socialism wants just the fruits. This is where they tax. Not just income tax, everything's taxed. Now, you got to realize the U.S. had no income tax until 1913 when the Federal Reserve Act was instituted. The socialist state rapes the people through taxes, folks. There was no tax till 1913. Socialism rapes the people. They don't need the tax. They're pumping money out of thin air in fiat currency. Why do they need a tax? The reason they need a tax is to redistribute the wealth. That's what they want to do. So, you know, socialism, the socialist state rapes through taxes. A fascist state rapes the people through debt. They say, you owe us. That's fascism. You owe us. Both socialism and fascism rape the people through taxes. Debt causes inflation. This is where they really get us, folks. Debt is a hidden tax. It's a government IOU. So debt causes inflation. It's a hidden, debt is a hidden tax. There's government debt IOUs that are converted to bonds. That's how the fiat currency system works. The Fed regulates and manipulates against the will of the people. Money is diluted or inflated, supposedly, reducing purchasing power, leading to rising prices. So they basically, the way the Fed works is they continuously inflate the money, you lose spending power, and you pay more taxes. So they make things cost more. Inflation is a hidden tax. In the Constitution, Congress was given the responsibility to protect the general welfare of the people. We have been burdened with over 25,000 federal laws per year. Now, it's that doesn't count state, local, county, and things like that. Most of these laws are paid for by corporations. And they just keep piling up and piling up and piling up. They're very corporate serving. They're made by corporations to serve corporations. And the primary responsibility of the government is, you got to understand this. I mean, the government was created not to provide, but to protect. If a government provides to some, you have to realize it has to take from others. There's just no other way. So in order to provide, as I talked earlier, in order for the government to basically subsidize poverty, which the socialists want so bad, they have to take from another part. Now, there is a third option, and that is through their fiat currency system, but it's deceptive. They don't just say, look, we're just going to print money out of thin air and strap the debt on you, because people go, well, where are you getting the money? So they create a tax. But the reason they create a tax, they don't want wealth building. Folks, before the income tax, there has been times when the government stays out of the economic system, the poverty rate affects less than 1% of people of society. So you have to remember, the primary responsibility of the government was, our government, was not to provide, it was to protect. That's what the Constitution gave them the authority to do. If a government provides to some, it has to take from others. There is no other way. This is where we get this Hillary Clinton's pay your fair share stuff. And then so what? They say pay your fair share and then what? They decide how to spend and you pay your fair share of how they spend your money. How does that make any sense? That's what's scaring me so much about Hillary Clinton. I mean, they've got an agenda. These people have gone over the edge. They have one goal in mind: to control society in a socialistic manner so that their elite always remain in office. They allow enough of capitalism to sit around so they can fleece the wealth. They go into public office, folks, and now they're worth $300 million. Does that make any sense to you? Do you think that's fair? Are they that great? What product does her foundation sell that has made her $100 and some million and Bill Clinton $100 and some million? Nothing. So they decide how to spend, and you pay your fair share of how they spend your money. The government in Marxism becomes a vehicle of redistribution, and that's what we're facing now. We are accepting income taxes far too peaceably, folks. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, there's people out there, we call ourselves patriotic, and we suffer persecution from the state media, church, and social circles if we contest taxes. People just, everything about our society destroys us if we say these taxes aren't right. And after all, they say, if you complain about taxes, they say it's about, you know, it becomes about military veterans and children every time. That's what Hillary does every time. Well, Donald Trump says he don't want to pay taxes, and that means no money for veterans and no money for little babies and no money for children. Yet at the same time, in a debate, she couldn't refute the fact that she supports abortion that would rip a baby from the womb on the last day of a 9-month pregnancy. She said, that's not a very nice way to describe it. And I'm supposed to pay for that. So like I said, folks, in America, we accept taxes far too peaceably. The Tea Party was over 3%. The Boston Tea Party, now we're at 50. You know, there's something wrong. We are accepting income taxes far too peaceably. We're brainwashed to be good socialists because we're willing to pay our taxes. We call ourselves patriotic. I've heard guys say, well, I'm a patriot. I pay all my taxes. I'm a good man. I'm a good American. And I'm not saying do not pay taxes, folks. Christ made that clear. You don't fight the tax. You fight the system. If the law says pay the tax, you better pay the tax. I am not ever instigating fighting against the law. I believe in law. I believe God lays down authority in government. But as our founding fathers said in the Declaration of Independence, there comes a time when a government becomes too tyrannical and they're stripping away the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of its people. There's a time where the people are obligated to stand up. I think in ways we're at that point now. We call ourselves patriotic. We suffer persecution from the state, media, church, and social circles if we contest. After all, it becomes about military veterans and children, like I said, and it's all lies. It's all propaganda outlined by Karl Marx. America now has over 700 military bases abroad. We spend over $1 trillion a year. Over $1 trillion a year. If you think about it, on foreign investments. That's $3,500 for every man, woman, and child in America. If you have a family of four, it's $14,000 a year goes overseas, and we're going up in debt. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't. The police in our America are beginning to violate people's free speech rights in some cases. Although I don't want to come across wrong, I think the police are getting a bad, bad rap by the Black Lives Matter. I think they're, in a way, the Black Lives Matter is saying criminal lives matter, and they're trying to create a society where cops can't tell people what to do. If the black culture would rise up and encourage their youth to behave instead of fighting the police, I get what they think they're seeing. all the evidence shows that black people are less likely per capita to be shot by police than whites. So, there's also like the G20 summit where they just flat shut down free speech of people that are speaking what we're talking about right now. Over 50% of U.S. citizens, this is something that really baffled me. And I'm not sure where that statistic came from. I'm going to check if that's a legitimate statistic before I quote it. Okay, the Workforce 50. Let's see. They say over 50% of people work for the government in some form. I don't know if that's the case or not. I'm not sure. I picked this up when I was doing some research. I copied and pasted it. Well, I didn't copy and paste it. I wrote it. But it may be, I think what they meant was over 50% of U.S. citizens are on the dole. We know that's the fact. Maybe they were saying they work for the government or are receiving money from the government in a substantial form or another. That's probably more likely. Over 50% of U.S. citizens either work for the government or they receive a substantial stipend of some sort from the government. So over 50% of the people are affected by the government giving them money. The government is beginning to promote androgyny, I call it. Do you know what that is? That's hermaphroditic, neither male nor female, the neutral gender. You can't be too male, and you certainly can't be too female, because after all, males and females are the same. They're promoting androgyny. What, pumping girls into the military? Folks, that doesn't make sense. And girls don't understand it. They're like, I can do anything a man can do. You can't. You cannot take a 200-pound man after he's been shot and strap him on the back of your shoulders and run up a hill. I mean, if I was in war and I got shot, I wouldn't want my partner to be a female to drag me out. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd want my partner to be a male who was strong and fast. I'm not saying all males are strong and fast, but I'd like my partner to be. I mean, let's be honest. Women are beautiful. Women are made by God with beautiful traits. They have beautiful faces. They have beautiful features. They have attention to detail that's unlike any other. They have patience with children and a long-term tolerance. They enjoy a lot of them domesticating and cooking. And like I say, even as an employee, a woman will do things a man won't. Some men will just sit and watch something not get done and not do it. Women will go do it. There's a difference. Women can associate with men. They can serve men and help men be better. Women were made by God as a helpmate. They make men much better. Without women, men are lost. And men, the right man, of course, fulfill women. I mean, it's God's system. It works beautifully. Of course, Paul comes and says, I wish you wouldn't get married, at least to the Catholic Church. Celibacy, which leads to deviancy. There's things about Paul's writings I don't believe are all inspired personally. How can the inspiration, you know, don't get married after God, Christ himself said to get married? I don't understand it. I guess I wouldn't say it's not inspired. I know most of his writings are inspired. There's just some things he said that are his opinion, that are the views of a rabbi, not of a general, you know, societal, whatever. So, and you know, I heard one person say, you know, that the pedophilia has transferred all through the church over the years. The Catholic Church is embedded with it. They believe in celibacy. Paul believed in celibacy. And he said he had the thorn in his side. He couldn't get rid of. There was no record of any kind of physical ailment. And he was the beginning of the tradition of the Catholic male priest becoming celibate And we know that there was the ridiculous level of pedophilia in the Catholic Church. I wonder, perhaps, if that's what the thorn in Paul's side was. So the thing is, we're pushing this androgyny. Men are equal to women. We reverse the roles. This is what society does now. Watch TV. They reverse the roles and they invalidate the home. This is cultural Marxism for folks. Critical theory. They instill it in our culture. Be critical. Question. Argue. Make your children backtalk and be sarcastic. This is what they learn on TV. Critical theory instills cultural pessimism. You're negative. It's like the other day, I heard an interview with Barbara Corcoran. She's a multi-billionaire that's on the Shark Tank. I love her. She's a classy, classy lady. She's my kind of gal. And they were interviewing her. She's a big real estate specialist. And the word mother-in-law apartment came up on Zillow. An expert from Zillow said, hey, you can change the value of your home by updating all this. And the word mother-in-law apartment came up. It adds to the value of the home. So this reporter, cultural pessimism, he goes, mother-in-law apartment, that's a terribly negative name. I can't believe. That's a horrible name. That means you don't want your mother-in-law in your house. And this barber and this other guy are like, no, it's not what it means at all. It means that it's an attached or detached living space. And he goes, yeah, but it's so negative. You don't want your mother-in-law in your house. She can live there, but as long as you don't see her, and that's what it means. And they're like, no, it actually means you do want her to live there. You just don't want to make her uncomfortable. No, it isn't. You know, this reporter just keeps droning on about how negative this name is. This is a political correct speech. A mother-in-law apartment means, yeah, I'll give my mother-in-law a house, a place to live. I'll give her privacy. But no, this cultural pessimism has to look at it and say, what's wrong with what you're doing rather than what's right? This is what's going on. This is what the media does. They find ways to pick apart everything. This cultural pessimism in movies and stuff, folks, they're portraying men, fathers of the home, as dominant, restrictive, depersonalized, and controlling. A father should be dominant. He should be restrictive. They make him look depersonalized, in other words, unloving and controlling. Well, he is dominant, restrictive, and controlling. That's his job. But that should be highlighted. That should be glorified and exalted, not looked down upon. Like, what an absolute annoying idiot. They do everything from the view of the teenager who's never worked for themselves. They've never paid for their own stuff. They don't support themselves. They don't have life experience. They don't know. Of course they don't like restriction. They think they can do anything. They think they can live on their own because they don't even understand where money comes from. Then they so that's how they invalidate the male. They invalidate the female. In movies, they show mothers often as schizophrenic, nagging, anxious, and literally psycho. They make them look nuts, which obviously invalidates the family, which invalidates, it creates pessimism towards the family. You know, you look at cultural pessimism in the movies. Families are boring. They're inhibiting. They're intrusive. Mothers and fathers suck. You know, divorce is always understandable and justified in the movies. This is all the cultural Marxism, folks. They're decaying our culture. They're destroying our beliefs. Movie requirements. Divorced. They've always got to have someone who's divorced. They've got to have a dominant female that's always one-upping a man. They've got to have a male who's either effeminate, gay, or cheating. And then they have, or a family member has to be a lesbian, gay, bisexual, or a hardcore woman's liver. They're in every show. You know, they have this complete tolerance for severe social dysfunction, and which is also inefficient economically. I mean, when people get divorced, it hurts them financially. You know, there's all these other issues that go into it. And they say it's proof that Christian values don't work. Schools should be taught by parents, and they should have the latitude to move their kids to another school when they don't handle things properly. Let's face it, schools are pushing this stuff down our kids' throats. The Supreme Court has become the agent of secularism. which is leading to economic collapse, folks. Anti-capitalistic debaters always ask, like I said earlier, what about the poor? And like I said, history tells us, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. The more something is subsidized, the more you get of it. True free markets create income. Welfare creates poor, non-working government dependence. So just, you know, remember that. The more you tax us something, the less you get of it. It's very simple. So that's where we're at for the day. I think you see the direction we're going, folks. Biblical standards work. That includes your finances. We build portfolios. You know that. We do IRAs, 401ks. If you have an IRA or 401k out there, get it into the metals now. It's a great time. You know, they're up year to date 10% or whatever, or more actually. But, you know, that's okay. People always watch and they compare to the previous high. That you don't worry about where the high was. You worry about where you're at now. Now's a great time. It's a great time to get in. Not to mention, you know, and I know, you know, another big dump's coming. It has to. Our system is a pumped up balloon just full of financial air. The Fed just pumps and pumps and pumps and pumps and pumps and pumps. And it does, you know, it's going to pop. It's going to pop. There's certain things that don't work. That is one of them. So I'm telling you, we sell the right stuff. I've been doing this for decades. I've been doing it myself, to be honest. I've secured a lot of wealth. I've been able to do some neat things in my life because everything I own and everything we put into people's portfolios over the long, long, long haul has exceptional performance. That's what we do. Don't mess around. It's legitimate. It's easy. Call Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com. where you can see all of our previously recorded radio shows, listen to them, whatever. Once again, thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Take care and God bless. Bye-bye.